don't buy that story either. We're trying to leave you be and let you handle things on your own. You're a big girl, but I'm finna roll up on your school and figure out which one of those Bammas messed with my baby. I climbed into the truck in silence, hoping he would just drop it. I had no energy to pretend I didn't feel like a belly-up fish inside my bubble. Daddy hopped in and started the car, letting the engine heat up. A cold breeze flew out of the vent, and I wrapped my scarf around tighter. "Come on, sweet pea," he coached. "You know you can talk to me about anything. Anything at all that's bothering you." "It's nothing, Daddy," I said. "Disappointments are a part of life, right?" He raised a sharp eyebrow.
"Oh.
So you heard that, huh? Looks like I need to install some soundproofing in the house next." "Looks like it." "Well, that didn't mean you can't talk to me. You used to talk to me about everything." I hesitated, wondering where to even start, but gave up. "You'll just think I'm being a baby," I huffed, staring at the frost-covered window. Daddy sighed, put the car in drive, and let the radio do the talking. He took the long way home, driving through northwest D.C., passing the monuments, the National Mall lined by the Smithsonian Museums, the Capitol, and the White House. Lived here all his life, but still mesmerized by the lights bouncing off the marble Goliath buildings. Once we were over the river and off the highway, we turned on Good Hope Road. Like day turning to night in a blink of an eye, our part of the city felt so dark in comparison when we're so full of light. Daddy drummed his fingers on the steering wheel. "Hey, did I ever tell you about the day you were born?" I sighed. "You mean about how Ma was in labor for 19 hours and almost broke your hand and your eardrum screaming until you finally talked her into them cutting me out of her?" He chuckled. "Guess I tell that story a lot, huh? Well, what about when your mother was pregnant? I tell you about that." I frowned. "With me or with the other babies?" Daddy winced, gripping the steering wheel. "With you, just you." I touched his arm softly. "No, Daddy, you never did." He nodded, taking a deep breath. "Man, you wanted out her belly bad. You kicked from sun up to sundown. I could see your tiny feet trying to push through her skin." He chuckled. "You were tired of cooking. You were ready for the world. Ready for this big adventure." I said, "Janet, you may give birth to the Redskins' first female kicker." We laughed until his smile began to fade. "But it almost killed her. Trying to keep you contained. The morning sickness lasted for months. Headaches, puking, gagging. She was on bed rest for most of the time, with them fake contractions almost every day. Twice we went to the hospital with bleeding. She looked just awful. That claustrophobia stuff can start early, even in the belly. You wanted out, bad. And when you came out all those weeks early, even though it was touch and go if you'd make it, it was also a relief you were out of her." A sharp aching ripped through me, imagining Ma in pain, the one thing I never wanted her to feel. "Why you never told me this before?" "She told me not to," he admitted. "Was I killing her? Is that why she can't have no more babies? Because of me?" "And see? That's exactly why she didn't want to tell you. She knew you'd blame yourself. You good for taking on others' burdens and making them your own. But no, sweet pea, you weren't killing her. And it ain't your fault. Her body just couldn't handle someone so larger than life. Your mother don't regret you one bit. But boy, when they cut you out, you were glowing. Everywhere we took you, you lit up the place. Folks couldn't get enough of you. You sparked life into people. It's like you came here with a purpose, a mission, to make others feel good. So even though your friend ain't around, don't seem right for you to stop living. You were made to light up this world, not to be cooped up in the house. I may not have said it right. That's all I want for you, sweet pea. I swallowed, lacing my fingers together. What if I fail my mission? What if I'm not as special as everyone thinks I am? Daddy reached over and held my hand. Well, I'm here to catch you every time you think you're about to fall. That's what daddies are supposed to do. Tears prickled. Thanks, Daddy. He smiled triumphantly. So, how about we stop by the carryout? Thought Ma said she was cooking. Daddy grinned. Yeah, but I've got a taste for fried rice. So let's split it. Just don't tell your mother. You want me to lie? I laughed. Nah, never that. Let's just let this be our little secret. Daddy pulled into the parking lot of Mr. Chang's. The wind kicked up, almost freezing off my eyelids. I ran for the warmth inside and slammed right into her. April! I gasped. April stepped back to balance herself from falling. Shit, Claudia! Watch where you... The door swooshed open as Daddy walked in behind me. April! Daddy said, delighted. April arched her neck up to look at him, her face frozen. Hey, Mr. Coleman. April croaked. She shuffled backward, holding on to something behind her, or someone. Little Tuesday poked her head out from behind her sister, her light gray sneakers twinkling hot pink lights with each step. Tuesday! I beamed. Tuesday slipped from behind April and ran into me, wrapping around my waist with the happiest grin on her little heart-shaped face. I squeezed, feeling her bones almost breaking through her thin coat, like hugging a skeleton. Hi, Claudia, Tuesday said. I squatted down to her level and kissed her cheek, realizing how much I missed her, how much I missed all of them, my pretend siblings. I inhaled the moment, just as the pungent smell hit my nose, and I took another whiff. Tuesday smelled like a pissy diaper. I glanced up at April, fidgeting with her bag. Tuesday! How you doing, young lady? Daddy said. Give me 5. Tuesday gushed and jumped up to smack Daddy's hand with a giggle. Whew! Got some muscle on you, girl. Daddy smiled at April. How's it going, April? Long time. April tensed, struggling to smile, and pulled her sister closer. Good, she mumbled, eyes flicking back and forth between the door and us, as if at any moment she would grab Tuesday and run. And judging by the look in her eye, there would be no catching her. So Tuesday, how's Monday doing? Daddy asked. We haven't seen her in a while. Fine, Tuesday said, squirming with a shy smile. So she's back home? I asked, glancing up at April, her face expressionless. Mm-hmm, Tuesday said, nodding. Oh yeah? What y'all been up to? Just playing and stuff, Tuesday giggled. So you've been playing with Monday? I blurted out, leaning closer. Tuesday nodded. Yeah, but she's always hiding in the closet. April's jaw dropped. She looked up at Daddy, then at me before placing a trembling hand on Tuesday's shoulder, pulling her closer. Oh, hide and seek. Daddy laughed. Ha, yeah, I used to play that too when I was your age. Quit playing around, Tutu, April said, choking out a dry laugh. Sorry, Mr. Coleman. Tuesday is just messing with you. She knows Monday's over by Daddy. Thought you said she was at your aunt's. I seethed. April squared her shoulders, eyes narrowing. You must have heard me wrong. Hey, how's your daddy doing? Daddy asked, still not noticing April's trembling hands. Haven't seen him in a long time either. He's fine, she said, the corner of her mouth twitching. Sorry, but we gotta go. Mom is waiting on us. All right now, y'all take care. Tell Monday to stop on by next time she's around. Tuesday stared up at me, with Monday's eyes, calm and indifferent, but needy. She grabbed my hand and squeezed it. Are you gonna come over and play with us? My heart pumped fast, and I bent to her level. Yeah, soon. I promise. April avoided my glare and grabbed Tuesday's hand, yoking her out into the cold. February. Rumors are born with legs that can run a mile in less than a minute. Rumors eat up dreams without condiments. Rumors do not have expiration dates. Rumors can be deadly. Rumors can get you killed. There's this rumor that DC was built on top of a swamp, and the Chocolate City is slowly sinking into mud. That's why the humid heat sticks to your skin like cement glue. That's why white clouds of gnats swarm like biblical locusts. That's why alligators crawl out of sewers and eat stray animals, and babies left alone in their strollers. None of that's true, Ma told me as I hid inside. How do you know? I asked. She shrugged, shucking fresh corn for our barbecue. I dug into it myself. Do you think I'd raise my baby on some swamp? She chuckled. You can't always believe everything people tell you. Sometimes you gotta find out stuff for yourself. The before. On Mondays, pieces of hope would slide down from my brain, through my throat, into my stomach, and fill me up like Ma's gumbo. Today is the day she'll show up, I declare, standing by my locker, watching the doors, counting the seconds. When the bell rang and she was nowhere in sight, my hope disintegrated into dread. Without Monday, there seemed to be an infinite amount of space inside our bubble. I could run in circles without bumping into myself. Find Monday. Find Monday. Find Monday. Miss Valenti, can I talk to you for a minute? I asked, lurking outside her classroom after the final bell. Miss Valenti pushed a strand of hair behind her ear and sighed. Come on in, Claudia, she said. I'm just about to pack up. I sat on a desk in front of her as she reshuffled packs of worksheets and essays. She wore a blue, no, more like pewter, maybe even a slate, sweater over her black dress. Blue was her color. I wondered if anyone had ever told her that. So what's up? She asked, without looking up. Trying to grade these papers before tonight's meeting. I'm a part of the admissions committee, and we're starting to review applicants. Already? Work never stops around here. I nodded, squeezing my book bag straps. Are you still mad at me? Stunned, she frowned. Claudia, I was never mad. Just disappointed. I expected more from you than fighting. Fighting is never, ever the answer. 3-1? You could have been seriously hurt, or worse. You're only a few short months away from graduating. Why would you jeopardize that? My shoulders slumped. I'm sorry. Just promise me that next time, if you're in trouble, You'll come find me or another teacher. Okay? I shook my head, thankful. I swear, I won't do nothing like that again. She gave me a small smile and nodded. I believe you, but I need a really big favor. And you're the only one that'll listen. She chuckled. I'll hear you out. I inhaled deeply. Can you go by Monday's house? Miss Valenti slouched in her seat, her eyes rolling. Claudia. Miss Valenti, something ain't right. School's saying she's home, but she ain't home. Her mom's saying she's at her dad's, and her sister's saying she's at her aunt's. She sat up straight. You spoke to her sister? Yeah. Miss Valenti rubbed her temple with a frown. I've met her before. Why would she lie? I don't know, but I know something's wrong. And no matter how mad she is at me, I just want to make sure she's okay. I just have to know. Why do you think she's mad at you? Why else wouldn't she call me? Why else wouldn't she want to be my friend anymore? Miss Valenti placed her pencil down, folded her hands together, and studied my face. Okay, not saying that I don't believe everything you're saying. But what if it's just that simple, and she really doesn't want to be your friend anymore? You sure you can handle it? My hands gripped tighter before I nodded. Anything is better than not knowing. She shook her head and groaned. Okay, fine. I'll go. Not sure if it'll be anytime soon, but we'll see. The after. First Monday was at her aunt's. Then she was being homeschooled. Then she was at her dad's. Nothing added up. About time I found out why. With my door closed, I hid in our tent and dialed the number Ms. Moser wrote on a post-it. A woman picked up on the third ring. Hello? I sit up straight. Hi, Miss Orman? I said, using my best adult voice. No, this is her daughter, Giselle. Who is this? This is Claudia. I go to Warren Kent. Miss Orman was our nurse. The phone went silent before she coughed a gasp. Claudia, how did you get this number? The school give it to you? They ain't got the right. Miss Orman left it for me. In case of emergencies. Can I speak to her? About what? I'm just checking on her. I'm a terrible liar. She sighed. Listen, Claudia, I appreciate you calling to check in on my mother, but, well, I don't know if you remember, but my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. You know what that is? Of course I knew. One of Grandmama's friends had it. She'd pour salt in her iced tea and snap at anyone that tried to tell her differently. Poor Ms. Orman. No wonder she retired. Yes, ma'am. Well, if you know, then you know she can have her good days and her bad. Sometimes she gets real confused. I'm sorry. I'm just looking for my friend Monday, and... Monday? She exclaimed, as if she had heard the name before. Look, this is a real delicate time, and I don't want to upset her with all that. You understand? Yes, but it's just a few questions that only she would know the answers to. That's if she could remember any of the answers at all. Please, I begged. She sighed. Okay, Claudia. If it can help you, we can try. But if this gets out of hand, I'm hanging up. I promise it won't. Thank you. The phone ruffled and went silent. I jumped out of my tent and sat on the edge of my bed, staring at the falling snow, softly hitting the library. Hello? A familiar voice said on the other line. Ms. Orman? Hi, this is Claudia Coleman. Yes? No recognition. I gulped and pressed on. I'm Monday's friend.
Monday?
Yes, Monday Charles?
What happened? Did something happen?
Suddenly it felt as if I was standing outside in the snow, in my underwear.
Why you ask? Well,
what's this all about? I was just wondering if you can tell me a little bit about Monday being so sick. She chuckled.
I can't just share her personal business, dear.
Please, I begged. I'm looking for her.
Looking?
Yeah, Monday's not at school anymore.
Well, where is she?
She asked, her voice dropping low and serious.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. And she was always in your office.
I thought maybe you knew something, or maybe where she could be. Heavy breathing sounds tracked her brief pause.
Monday was never sick,
Ms. Orman said. I gripped the phone tighter.
Not Ms. Orman, remember? She had that really bad flu and was out of school for weeks, and she was always having them fevers.
Monday was never sick. She never had the flu. Her voice was a heavy rock thrown through a small window of doubt.
But she was.
It was all smoke and mirrors. I had to get her out.
What do you mean?
Another long pause. Her breathing not as steady and even as before.
Hello?
Yes, Ms. Orman. What do you mean? I pressed.
What I mean about what?
About Monday.
What about it?
It? Oh, no.
No, Monday. Monday Charles? What happened to her?
Oh, God.
What if something happened to her?
I got to find her. I got to...
Wait. Hello? Hello? Giselle, I don't know what this is about.
I told you this was going to upset her. Giselle barked into the phone. Had she been listening the entire time?
Wait, please. She was starting to remember.
Don't call back here. She can't help you.
But you don't... Do your parents know what you're up to?
Let me speak to your mother. I clicked end on the call quick, my heart hammering against my chest. What did she mean she had to get her out? Out of what?
Ring.
I dropped the phone on the bed, as if it burned my palm with a yelp. The red light blinked. Giselle was calling back to talk to Ma, to rat me out.
Shit. What am I going to do?
Ring. But Ms. Orman remembered something. Even if only for a split second, she remembered Monday, which meant she wasn't lying about Monday not being sick. Mom might flip about me snooping in grown folks' business, but maybe if she hears about Monday not having the flu, maybe it'll burn a fire under her, hot enough to help me find her. I jumped up, yanking the door open.
Ring!
I stopped short, neck snapping toward the bed. The red light held a steady green on the cordless. Ma answered from somewhere in the house. I could hear her mumbling, talking in fast whispers. My brain scrambled to come up with my side of the story. How would I save myself? It was all smoke and mirrors. If she didn't have the flu, where did she go for a whole month? Why would she...
Claudia!
Ma hollered.
Claudia!
I flinched and inched closer to the door.
Yes, Ma, I answered. Michael is on the phone for you.
I coughed out a breath, clutching my chest. Michael? What does he want?
Okay.
I croaked and took a few calming breaths before answering the phone.
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Nothing.
Why you sound like that? He chuckled.
I cleared my throat.
Like what? Like you scared?
Just surprised. That's all. Oh. Well, anyway, they having this big basketball game at my school, against our rivals next week. My mom said I can take you to it. I asked your mom if you can come, and she said yes. I gripped the phone tighter, holding in a shriek as I danced in a little circle. I'd never been to a high school basketball game, but still, I couldn't be that pressed. How come you asked my mom before you asked me? Figured I'd start with the hardest part first. Well, how'd you know I would want to go? Well, do you want to go? I paused for dramatic effect. Maybe. He laughed. Well, it's next Friday. You think you'll know by then? Maybe. Okay, so when you decided, whenever that'll be, your mom is going to drop you off at school, and my mom will drop you back home after the game. I stifled a giggle. Okay. 1 year before, the before. So y'all really gay for real, huh? Trevor said, snickering as he approached us in the hall. Dang, we can't even take our coats off before you come with the bullshit, Monday said, winking at me. Trevor bit down on his fist, his face lighting up with a goofy grin as he pointed at us. I saw that. I was just messing with y'all. But you out in public like that, though? Monday rolled her eyes. Don't pay him no mind, she whispered to me. Any other day, I wouldn't have. I mean, the whole we gay rumor was plain dumb. But the way everyone in the hall stared, the hush that fell as we walked by, something fell off. What are you talking about? I snapped. Monday waved him off like a fly. Whatever. Trevor did a little dance, pulling his cell phone out of his pocket, swiping his screen open. There you go. He shoved the phone in our faces, and I yelped, putting a hand up to my mouth as I backed away. Monday inched closer, brows cutting a deep V down the middle of her face. There, on Facebook, for the whole world to see, was a picture of us sitting on the floor in the school bathroom, with Monday's head in my lap. From the high angle, and the way her head was positioned, as if in my crotch, wiping tears off my skirt, and the way my head tilted back, with a laugh, the picture looked confusing. What the? Who took this? Monday demanded, grabbing the phone out of his hand. Who the fuck put this up? I read the stats below. 293 shares, 1,000 likes. My mouth dried. Man, I don't know, Trevor said, snatching his phone back. It just showed up on Friday. Oh my God, I cried, and noticed Jacob standing near his locker, his face blank, mouth closed, one eyebrow raised, staring at Monday. We locked eyes, and he turned away. Claudia, Monday breathed. Over the weekend, while we ate brownies and danced to Junkyard Band, everybody and their grandmama had seen the picture. Whether from posts on Facebook or Instagram, the rumor ran up to folks' doorsteps and let itself in. Aside from her burnt hair and the way her face turned into my skirt, you couldn't tell it was Monday. But my face, my laughing smile, was clear as day. If I'd had a cell phone, I would have known about the fire we were walking into and who started it. My parents wasted no time rolling up to the school and threatened to sue if they didn't have the picture taken down and launch an investigation. Ma filtered nosy calls, handling them with fierce grace. So two little girls are close, and that makes them gay? What'd that say about you and your best friend, Sister Karen? Don't your son sleep over his little buddy's house every weekend? I'm not suggesting anything. Just don't call my house with foolish questions. Monday and I hid in my room, waiting for the storm to blow over, trying not to worry about the permanent damage that would remain. "I bet it was Shayla," Monday mumbled, pacing in a circle, thinking hard. "Nah, Shayla can't hate us that bad," I said, soaking a cotton ball in nail polish remover. I needed to do something to ease the tension, planning to paint my nails bright canary yellow with gold tips. "You luncheon. That girl stays hating on us for no reason." I felt the squeeze, the pressure building up around our bubble, threatening to break us. "What about Jacob?" I asked. Monday chewed on her bottom lip. "I don't think so. He wouldn't do that." "What? He was the one who started this whole rumor in the first place. Even after you kicked his ass, and he stays lying to you, you defending him?" Monday shook her head, deep in thought. "Nah, it just don't seem like him. It doesn't seem like something he would do."
The after.
"Stop! Stop!" Miss Manis yelled, cutting off the music. I flinched mid-turn, almost falling on my face. Thank God we were alone. I couldn't handle the embarrassment in front of the other girls.
"What's wrong?"
I asked, out of breath. 10 minutes of class left, and I hadn't perfected the ending of my piece. We seemed to keep stopping in the middle like an unfinished thought. With a tight-lipped smile, she gracefully walked across the room, hands on her hips.
"Claudia, is everything okay?"
I gulped.
"Yes, ma'am."
"Hmm." She tapped her chin twice, circling me like prey. Sweat dripped down my neck, legs tingling.
"Your parents paid good money for you to come here, so I trust you'll take what I'm about to say seriously, yes?"
"Yes, ma'am." She nodded and spoke softly.
"A dance has to have emotion, a soul. Your piece is missing something, a passion, a spark of life. The solos are built for you to flex your creative muscles with guidance. But I'm wondering if you're ready to do so."
I held my breath for 5 counts before blurting out, "I dance faster than this. This song is too slow for me."
She frowned, her eyes growing hard. "In this life, you don't always get what you want, but you must dance through it," she said. "Listen to the piano, Claudia. It has the beat you crave. You just have to listen."
"Dear Monday, dang girl, did you take all my clothes?"
"Nah, I play in. But ain't it crazy how you have a closet full of clothes, but never seem to have anything to wear? I'm going to this game with Michael from church. I know what you thinking, but this ain't a date. I tore up my room for something crazy looking for the perfect outfit, but everything I put on, I rip off."
"I can hear you now."
"No, not that one. Are you serious? You can't wear that. Girl, you luncheon. You look like you 12.
Just don't be mad that I went to a game without you, okay?" Sweat leaked out of places on my body I didn't think could sweat in the middle of winter. Guess I never saw myself going to my first high school game without Monday, and the idea of it had me shook. But like Daddy said, I had to step out and shine, even if that meant without her. Ma helped flat iron my hair, and we compromised on some lip gloss and mascara. Dressed in black jeans, a fuzzy lavender V-neck sweater, and tall black boots, I traded my dark pomegranate puff coat for Ma's black licorice leather jacket, the one she wore on dates with Daddy. I painted my nails eggplant, drawing dark pink bows on the tips. We pulled up in front of the Cardozo High School steps to a sea of kids in dark purple and white. 2 volunteers stood by the stairs passing out crimson flyers. Save Ed Burrow its community, its home. Okay, sweet pea, Ma said. Have a good time. Enjoy the game. The same fear that had gripped me on the first day of school sprung up again. I couldn't just walk in there by myself. At least if I had Monday, our bubble would shield us from impending attacks. What's wrong? Ma asked. I flipped down the visor, checking my lip gloss, buying myself some time. Nothing? Ma raised an eyebrow. You nervous? You want me to walk in with you? Ma, I can't walk in there with you like I'm being dropped off for daycare. I was just... A hard knock on the window made us both jump. Michael bent down and grinned through the frosty glass. Ma rolled down the window, and his cologne hit me. Hey, Michael, Ma said. He waved and looked at me, his smile growing bigger. Game's about to start. Let's go find a seat. A roaring crowd filled the bleachers, jumping up at every swoosh of the ball hitting net. You can smell the sweat off the brows of every player. Hear sneakers squeak against the shiny floor of a packed gymnasium, and be blinded by the bright lights bouncing off the cheerleaders' curly pom-poms shaking in the air. I unzip my jacket as we climb to the top of the bleachers, squeezing in the very middle of the row. It's high up here, I said, smoothing down my hair, hoping it wouldn't frizz in the sticky heat. The air's just fine, he said with a wink, scooting closer. My cheeks burned as I bit back a girly grin. This is not a date. Second quarter, the clerks with a 2015 lead, I drank in the intoxicating electric air, a scene ripped right out of a movie that I now had a leading role in. Aren't you hot? Michael said, tugging at my sleeve. Take your coat off. Stay a while. I pulled at Ma's jacket in the tight space, and when he helped, his fingers grazing the back of my neck, a spark flew. Our eyes locked, tension frying like water popping off hot oil. He gulped as his eyes flicked back to the game. Just static. This is not a date. So, we only up by 3. It's gonna be a tight game, he said, rubbing his sweaty hands over his jeans. You know anything about basketball? I let out a nervous laugh. Yeah, but I like football better. He grinned. That's cool. Maybe you can come to one of my games next year. Coach said I'll be starting. I shrugged, playing it off. Okay. He laughed as we turned back to the game. This is not a date. He's just being friendly. But I wonder what Monday would have thought of it. I could picture us now in our tent, overanalyzing every word and movement of the moment. If Monday never comes back, who will I talk to about boys? The buzzer sounded, and the announcer blared through the speakers. All right, y'all! Put your hands together for the All-State Cardoza dance team! A storm of silver and purple sequins ran out to the middle of the floor, waving at the crowd, forming a floor pyramid, their heads down. The music started, and heads pop up with huge red smiles before the team jumped into high splits and parted. I noticed Megan in the back row, her eyes sparkling as she high-kicked. I leaned forward, engrossed in their routine. Michael watched me with a smirk. The crowd cheered, harder than they did during the game. Megan looked amazing, her moves fluid, smile effortless. Grinning as she twirled, her head arching back with a laugh before she dipped, like she was having the time of her life. Maybe that's what's missing from my dancing. Fun. I used to have fun. Then I saw it. The move Monday taught me. The boom, beat, beat, step, step. They did it twice before their grand finale. I stood with the rest of the crowd in awe, jumping and screaming my lungs out, like they'd won the game. That's going to be us, I thought. Monday and me, on the dance team, the crowd loving us. That's when her sweater caught my eye. My sweater. The white and fuchsia one I let Monday borrow last year. A huge bullseye, sitting on one of the lower bleachers. My heart almost came to a full stop, But it wasn't on Monday. It hung snugly on the busty frame of her sister. "April," I gasped. But Michael couldn't hear me over the loud roar of the crowd as the teams returned. Halftime over. With her back to me, I recognized her profile, so similar to Monday's, sitting next to a boy with a low cut, his arm roped around her waist, whispering in her ear. She faked a laugh, and he nudged her twice. He stood up, sweatpants hanging off his ass, and nodded towards the stairs. She sighed and followed him, heading toward doors leading into the school on the far end of the gym. His hand locked right above her butt, pushing her along. She shook her head a bit, and he whispered into her ear again, more aggressive than before. Her eyes softened, seeming defeated, before disappearing through the doors. The buzzer sounded, and the game began again. I don't know what I was thinking, maybe because she was the closest thing to Monday I had put my eyes on in months, but I leaped up and moved quickly through the crowd. "Claudia!" Michael called behind me. I ran around the perimeter of the court, eyes focused on the door she disappeared through. Right as I passed under the hoop, a whistle blew, squeaky footsteps sounding close before two players flew in front of me, slamming into the purple matted wall. "Ah!" I screamed, stopping short, seconds away from being trampled. The rogue basketball hit my ankle, and the players groaned in pain, panting. The tallest one glared at me. I remembered him, Megan's boyfriend, Cam. He grabbed the ball by my feet with a grunt. "Get the fuck off the court," he muttered, and threw the ball back into play. "Shit," I coughed out, my hand locked on my chest. "Claudia," Michael called again. His voice shook me out of my trance, and I raced toward the doors, crashing through them. "April," I yelled, my voice echoing down the empty hallway. I walked aimlessly, passing the dark classrooms, stopping by the central staircase with purple and gold murals. Staring up at the multiple flights of stairs, I kept wandering, studying the large bulletin board of photos. Student trips to Italy, community garden, and spirit day, until I found myself in an enclosed courtyard with a glass roof, like a greenhouse, staring up at the night sky. "This is high school," I thought, not knowing whether to be excited by the sheer size of it or scared shitless. "Ha! Stop, Keith," April giggled, her voice echoing from somewhere close. I jogged, confused by its lightness. Did she want to be with that guy? Suddenly something clanged behind me, like a metal cup dropping and bouncing on the floor. A group of colored pencils scattered and rolled out the cracked door of a darkened classroom into the hallway, greeting my sneakers. "Shh," the boy hushed her, his voice muffled. "You're making a mess." I tiptoed toward the door, peering through the window at the boy, his pants around his ankles, squeezed between April's straddled legs as she lay on top of a teacher's desk. I swung the door wide, letting the soft light from the hallway shine a spotlight on them. "Shit," Keith muttered, pulling up his pants and jumping off April. She scrambled to cover herself, her mouth dropping. "Claudia?" she mumbled in shock. Keith did a double take. "Who the hell is this?" April wiggled off the desk, buttoning her jeans while glaring at me. "She's my little sister's friend." "April, what are you doing?" I gasped, blurting out the first thought stuck on my tongue. I mean, how could she have sex with some guy in a classroom? Didn't she know what people already said about her? Didn't she know how it embarrassed Monday? Heavy footsteps echoed in the hall, and we froze. Damn, a teacher followed me. We're all going to be in trouble now, I thought. Keith held a finger up to his lips, dipping into the shadows as the footsteps grew louder. I whipped around, bracing myself, as Michael appeared. Keith smiled, relaxing. "Oh, what's up, Mikey?" Michael took in the scene as Keith continued to adjust his pants. His eyes narrowed.
Are you okay?
He asked, gently touching my elbow.
Yeah,
I mumbled. Keith chuckled and nodded in my direction.
Yo, Mikey, you robbing the cradle now?
Michael's face hardened.
Nah, she just goes to my church.
Dang, that's all I am to him. He's still acting like I'm some nobody from church. I snatched my arm back, sucking my teeth. He frowned, his eyebrows pinching together.
What y'all doing?
Michael asked.
Psst, nothing. Just chilling.
Keith laughed, smirking at April.
But what y'all doing?
April snapped. Why don't y'all go back to the game and mind your business? Michael sighed.
Whatever, April. You don't even go to this school. You're just here to get some dick.
And ain't you too old to be up in... A quick spark of something unsaid flashed between them, before they both glanced to see if I noticed.
You stupid motherfucker! Would you shut up with that big-ass mouth?
April shrieked, causing Michael to take the smallest step in front of me, readying himself. They know each other, but how? Keith watched April with an amused smirk.
Hey, it ain't that serious.
We just messing around. Keith chuckled, dapping Michael up.
And anyways, this ain't supposed to be no party.
He shrugged at April.
I'll check you later.
What you mean? She asked, her voice pleading, eyes widening.
I thought we...
Nah.
I'll check you later, he snapped.
Frustrated, he had to repeat himself. April shrank back, her arms crossed. Even I felt the sting of his rejection, treating her like a plate of leftovers he could reheat another day, reminding me of Jacob and Monday.
Later, cuz, Keith said to Michael.
Catch you in the weight room.
Yeah, later,
Michael mumbled. The three of us stood there, exchanging a few uncomfortable glances before April's foot started tapping, and then her whole body shook, teeth sucking every 20 seconds.
What the fuck are you looking at?
She snapped, each word a claw, lashing out at us. She turned to me, throwing her hands up.
You happy now?
I folded my hands behind my back with a wince. I thought I was saving her. Instead, I humiliated her.
I need to talk to April alone for a second,
I whispered to Michael.
Are you for real?
Please, I begged. He blew out air, glaring at me like a disappointed parent, and he shook his head.
Fine,
he hissed. I'll be in the gym. He didn't acknowledge April as he left, storming down the hall until we couldn't hear his sneakers squeak anymore. April huffed, straining her sweater. Monday's sweater.
My sweater.
It fit like a crop top, her flat belly out for the world to see, the way I'm sure she wanted it.
April, I'm sorry.
Her eyes flared.
Whatever. He wasn't shit anyways.
She jumped off the table, finished readjusting her clothes, and moved about as if I wasn't standing right next to her. No use in trying to talk to her, make her see this wasn't cool. The way she operated wasn't going to change, but she was my only line to Monday.
So, has Monday come by lately?
She chuckled, a rough and throaty laugh just like her mom's.
You still at this, Claudia?
She shook her head. Okay, fine. I'll play along. Monday is at my aunt's.
Huh?
Last time you said she was with her dad.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But Tuesday said she was home, and she played with her. That stopped April cold. Her eyes grew wide as she stared at the ground. Her body swayed lightly, and then she sniffed and zipped up her jacket.
Leave Tuesday out of this, she snarled.
Don't bring her up again. A walking block of ice, cold and impenetrable, she tugged and straightened her tan coat, smoothing back her edges, Her hair seemed different, a shade brighter, but hard to tell. Damn, don't you miss Monday at all? Bitch, you act like you know her. I know her better than you, I snapped. The words were supposed to come out like bullets. Instead, they landed with a soft thud against her, light as a paper plane. Her smirk chipped away at some of my nerve. Oh, really? You think you knew her so well? All right. What was her favorite color? Pink, I said, sucking my teeth at the dumb question. Wrong. Her favorite color wasn't pink. It was purple. She fucking hated pink. She just went along with it because y'all couldn't have the same favorite color. That funny feeling in the pit of my stomach dropped lower. That ain't true, I whispered. Monday did anything you wanted, cause you was the only one stupid enough to be her friend. She didn't have anyone but you, and that dude she fucked. The word fucked landed hard, thumping against my bubble. Nah, Monday didn't do anything like that with Jacob. Ha! Who said it was Jacob? My tongue dropped dead in my mouth, as my body went rigid. She smirked. See? She's lying, I repeated in my head, over and over. April lies. That's what she does. Her sleeve crept up as she reached to tighten her ponytail, and I noticed a spot of raw skin on her arm, a scar, as if she'd held her arm over a birthday candle and the flame had engulfed her. Dang, what happened to your arm? I asked, reaching toward it instinctively. Nothing, she gasped, lowering her sleeve and slapping my hand away. She shoved me hard, a one-handed palm right in the middle of my chest. I yelped as I hit the floor. April stood over me, her hands balled into fists, just like her mother. And I ain't gonna tell you again. Quit bringing up Monday and stay out of my fucking business. I stayed dead on the floor, listening to her sneakers squeak down the hall until they disappeared. Just like Monday. The before. I don't know where your father is. Ma slapped a thick wad of dough on the counter, kneading it with her fists. When she finished beating it to submission, she'd let it rise overnight, and we'd have fresh rolls for Sunday dinner. He know how I worry, she grumbled. You gonna work on your homework tonight? Yes, Ma, I mumbled from the table, painting my nails an ombre blue sky with tiny white stars. The front door slammed. Ma looked up, placing powdery hands on her hips. Where you been? You missed dinner. Your fingers broke? You can't call nobody? Daddy strolled into the kitchen, tickled by Ma's snappiness. Sorry, baby. Was with Uncle Pete. Van broke down on the BWI. He leaned down and kissed her forehead. I didn't realize how late it was. She huffed. Well, wash your hands so you can eat. I'll fix your plate. Daddy winked at me and took to the sink while Ma heated up some greens, candied yams, and baked chicken. Ladies, it is freezing out there, Daddy said, rubbing his hands together, grabbing a beer out of the fridge. I thought my fingers were about to break off. He stroked my cheek with the back of his fingers, and I flinched away from the cold. Daddy, you're gonna make me mess up my nails. He grinned, tickling my neck. I couldn't help laughing. He's such a big kid. You lucky you didn't get frostbite, Ma said, loading up his plate. It's -2 degrees out there. And with the wind chill, it feels like -20. You should have seen us on the side of the parkway, trying to get that van to start. Almost froze to death. Van stopped in the middle of him driving. Just crazy. Anyway, we swung by a service station up the road, and the funniest thing happened. I ran into Smokey Davenport. We played together, back in high school. His name's not really Smokey, is it? He chuckled. No, it's Herman. Just a nickname. Ma shook her head. What a crazy name he gave himself. Daddy smiled. Hadn't seen him since I don't even know when. We chopped it up for a bit, and he told me he just saw Tip. Working at the gas pumps over at the Maryland house on 95. I flinched, hitting my nails on the table. Ma spun around. Tip? Tip Charles? Daddy sat at the table next to me, his eyes focused on his bottle. Yup. Ma glanced over at me quick, then back to Daddy before placing a plate in front of him. Okay. And? He took a slow swig of his beer. And I asked him if he had his number, and he said yeah. I stared down at my nails to keep from looking too eager. My left ring finger and pinky were smudged almost completely off. I tried blowing on my right hand, but I couldn't cough up enough air. And? Ma encouraged. He called him up, right then and there. So I asked him about Monday. And? Daddy sighed. And he hasn't seen her. Ma's head snapped back. We locked eyes, both stunned. What do you mean he hasn't seen her? Ma asked in disbelief. He hasn't seen Monday or any of them in over a year, maybe longer. My mouth dropped. Ma's eyes widened. A year? She screamed. How you not lay eyes on your own child for over a year? He chugged back his drink. He owed Patty thousands in child support. You know that woman is impossible. Ain't no way she gonna let him see those kids without paying a toll. Tried to reason with her, but it got too exhausting. But a year? That ain't right. Ma yelled, throwing the dough in a bowl. I know. But he hadn't been working. He couldn't pay child support. And he couldn't get a lawyer with no job to take her to court. He just got that job, but hasn't made enough to pay her back all he owes. He's scared she may have him arrested. What good will that do them both? Ma shook her head. That's a damn shame. Nothing should stop you from seeing your kids. Nothing should, but Patty sure can. I shifted away from the table and headed up to my room in silence. The after. You know, you haven't said a word about the game. Bracing the early morning icy winds, I helped Ma pack her pie orders in the trunk of the car before heading to church with April's words still dancing around my head. Monday wouldn't lie about her favorite color. Would she? Yes, I did. I said it was fine. Yeah, but how was it being in high school with all those kids? I shrugged, thinking of the massive hallways and April's shirt, my shirt, hanging off her. It was okay, I said, climbing into the car. Ma hopped in and buckled her seatbelt. But did it get you excited? Could you picture yourself there? At Cardozo? Yeah. I heard it was a really good school. Ms. Walker mentioned how great it would be for you. Ma's tone felt suggestive, leading down a road I wasn't interested in. But I want to go to Banneker. She shrugged. Yeah, but it's good to have options, right? Options, yes. But what were Monday's options? After what April said, did that even matter anymore? As we made our way off our block, Ma made a right on Good Hope Road, rather than the left, toward church. Why are we going this way? 'Cause we have to pick up Michael. What? Why? Ma took her eyes off the road for a moment to glance at me. His mother is at a teacher's conference this weekend, she said. Asked if we could give him a ride to service. It's too cold for him to walk all that way. I thought that you wouldn't mind. Yeah, I mind, I wanted to scream, Michael and I didn't leave on good terms. Scratch that. He didn't say one word to me. Slouched in his seat, arms